This programme was produced at and first aired on MPR, Manawatu People's Radio, with support from New Zealand On Air. Ka pai, irirangi te motu, MPR. If you're enjoying this podcast in Manawatu, you could make your very own, just like this one. MPR exists to help people like you tell your story or share your passion on air and online. Check out mpr.nz for more information.
Welcome to Manawatu Conversations, recollections of the past and sometimes opinions about the future. Today we have with us
Diane McConnell,
Steve Tolley,
and I'm Stuart Burks. Now, Steve, you're a big name in the local music scene for all the things you've been organising over many years, but how did you get into this?
Well, I suppose we've got to go right back. Yeah. So the first time I can actually remember listening to music is at home back in Bradford when I was a kid. Okay, mm-hmm. So I actually came from England. And the first song I can remember that really got me, might seem strange, was the theme to the Dam Busters.
Oh, yes.
And I can remember sitting on the couch, and when that came on, turning up the volume.
Yes.
On the radio. We didn't really have music at home. Mum and Dad, we had an old 78 player, which was used very, very little.
Yeah. When were you talking about here?
About when I was about 1950s, early 50s.
Okay.
So, because I was born in 1950.
Okay.
So very early 50s. And then Mum had a piano, but she very, very seldom played it. So there was no real musical influences at home. So as I got older, when we came to New Zealand and the radio became popular and you'd listen to the Beatles and the Beatles, oh, well, I always loved the Beatles. Mm. And I really got into modern music. And then when we went to high school, I went to Boys High in Palmerston North. They used to do the disc dances. Now, the disc dances were run by a local radio station.
Disc dances, you mean a disco?
Yep.
Okay.
But they were run by the local radio station.
They were called disc dances?
They were called disc dances.
Okay.
They were broadcast on the radio.
Ah.
Yeah. And they were done in the Palmerston North Boys High School Hall. So I think they used to start...
You mean they were broadcast from there?
From there.
Like, yep,
so they'd have a DJ there, and he'd play the records,
yes.
And which was then a put over the air, They'd have competitions and things like that, so the kids could win records and things.
Okay,
and it was really really
good. Never heard of these. I've heard of the country hall dances and
things,
no. But, so when you say competitions, that were dancing competitions,
all sorts of things. I won once for having the highest vocal range.
Okay,
because at the time I could do a bass, but I could also scream like a girl.
Okay. I could imagine the competition. There were many entries. Was this out of two?
There was probably four or five. People had a go. I can even remember the record I won. It was a 45 of the Bobby Full of Four.
Okay.
For singing "I Fought the Law, But the Law Won."
Oh, right.
So that was really interesting, and that was just an added thing to Palmerston North. I mean,
that was a big part of the youth scene, was it?
It was.
So every Saturday or something?
No, but it was on. I think it used to be on a Friday night.
Okay,
and it was from.
Well, was that late shopping? Was it?
Yeah, there was late shopping on Friday night. Yeah. And I think it used to start about 5 o'clock and go for a couple of hours.
Okay.
But I can't remember.
Closely supervised by teachers.
Closely
and parents
supervised by people.
With coffee and cake in the break.
No, not as far as I know. I think they used to do, I used to sell fizzy drink and stuff like that. But, okay. Kids from all the different schools went.
It wasn't, and there was no sneaking in of alcohol?
Not as far as I can remember. Okay. It was sort of...
Well, well-behaved.
Yeah, yeah, quite well-behaved.
In the days when people knew proper.
But, you know, we all went. I mean, lots of people went, and it was really interesting. It was good. Okay. You know, they used to play some pretty good music, but... You know, the poppy stuff of the day. And then through that, we sort of... I hadn't seen much live music. And then we made a couple... my best friend and I made friends with another guy called... I think his name was Mike Sheehan. And Mike used to help run the RSA Youth Club. Now, the RSA, in those days, ran a youth club. And it was held in the building on the corner of Cuba Street and George Street. You know where Cafe Cuba is?
Yes, yeah.
Upstairs.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And it was held there. And they had live bands. So this was on a Sunday afternoon, and it used to run for a couple of hours from 2 o'clock. And you know what it's like. You show an interest, you end up being on the committee. So me and my friend and... other friends, we all ended up on the committee running this thing. Not that I had much to do, but we used to go along and we used to, you know, sort of help set up and do all that sort of stuff. I didn't have anything to do with hiring bands or doing anything like that. But from there, you heard, that was the first real live bands that I saw.
And these were local musicians?
Oh, yeah, local musicians. Okay. Bands like, one of them was called Unit 3.
Yeah.
Another one was called Love Bunny.
Okay.
And they were the first bands around Palmerston.
Were they school-age people? Or
Just school-age and just above. Above.
Okay.
And they were the first bands who were getting into the alternative sort of music around Palmerston.
They were copying the Beatles wave. And
Cream and stuff like that.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so, was it more an English influence or an American
very
influence?
Very much an English influence.
Okay. Yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, the Cream and, you know, that sort of English-driven blues sort of stuff, which was very popular with the alternative sort of people at the time. Yeah. And that was fascinating. That was really interesting. I liked doing that. We did that for a couple of years. Then they closed it there and moved it to another venue, and I just sort of dropped out. Didn't really go from there on.
How old were you when this was happening?
17.
Okay, so still at high school.
Still at high school. Yeah, yeah. And it was mostly sort of that age of people who were going there, sort of 16, 17. It turned out my wife used to go there. Not that I knew her at the time, but she used to go as well. And, that was interesting. And, you know, I sort of started getting into that sort of alternative, well, it was sort of alternative sort of music, and getting more into music.
Well, as a musician yourself?
No, I've never been a musician.
Okay.
I've tried, but I haven't got the patience for it. And then... Where do we go from there? Oh, there used to be dances as well. There used to be other dances. Now, they were done... We used to go out to Newbury Hall, of course.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the young farmers' dues.
Yeah.
But that was basically just to meet girls.
Yeah.
And we used to... A friend and I used to... There used to be dances held on Sunday afternoons in the Ballroom Astoria in George Street. And they were... local bands and touring bands. So that you'd manage to see different things. Do you know about Abulium Astoria?
I've heard of it, but that's...
Well, it used to had the...
Was it a cinema as well?
No, it was just a ballroom.
Okay.
It had the biggest wooden sprung dance floor in the Southern Hemisphere.
Okay.
It was looking at quite some venue.
Oh, yeah. It was an amazing place. Pulled down years ago.
Yeah.
But they used to have all the balls there. So Boys High used to have their ball there. All sorts of people. You know, training college had balls there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, yeah, that was another interesting place. Some good music there as well.
Yeah.
Okay. Local bands and travelling bands, you know.
Yeah. So there was actually a lot of activity. So if you were interested in music and dancing, lots of opportunity.
Palmerston North has always had a really good music scene. Always. As long as I can remember, you know. And, of course, not long after that, we started going to the pub. And I mean, we might have been underage, but that didn't matter. But we were going for the music. It was, you know, none of us drank very much.
But the bands were playing in the pubs.
Bands were playing in the pubs because it was round about the same time as, you know, the pubs were big. They were the barn-type places.
Yeah, unlike the English...
Yeah. They were the barn-type places.
Yeah.
And they had the national touring circuit with these bands, and bands used to come in from all over the place. But initially we used to go to the Fitz.
Yeah, the Fitz Herbert.
The Fitz Herbert. Yeah,
which is now all... There's a liquor store
there. Yeah, and that's about it,
isn't it? Yeah.
But that was a huge barn-type place.
Well, that was a massive student place until...
It was.
Not that long ago.
Yes,
it
was.
It was a big place for students to go.
Yeah. Well, this was before then.
Yeah.
And the band that would play there used to be Sounds of Four, I think, who later developed into Soundproof.
Okay.
Who, I think they changed their name, and they became one of the biggest bands in Palmerston for years. Mike Myers and Griff and all these people who are sort of stalwarts of the music, Palmerston North music scene.
Okay.
I mean, they played there.
Yeah. And all this stuff is sort of semi-amateur?
Semi-amateur, yeah. But very good musicians, you know, people who've been playing for years. And that was sort of in my early training college days, I think, because I went straight from high school to teacher's training college.
At Massey?
Palmerston North.
Of course.
Palmerston North Training College, which was in Princess Street.
Yeah.
The old brick building there.
Yes.
That was the training college.
Right
on the corner of
King and
Princess.
King and Princess, yeah.
Right.
That was the training college.
What a great location.
It was fantastic. But it was in the process of being... I was there a year, and there was another campus in Grey Street, and then we were sort of between there and going down to the lagoon.
Hokapitu.
It was sort of in my second and third year, some lectures were in Princess Street and some were down at Hokapitu. And to get to Hokapitu, you had to go past the Albert.
And you didn't often get past it.
Well, sometimes we didn't.
Now, when you say the other, that also has largely changed now, because that was at one stage a large pub.
That was a large pub, and they used to do music in there as well.
Yes. Yeah.
These bands playing the music, were they doing covers?
Yes.
All covers?
Mostly
covers.
Yeah.
And still very much the English...
No, I mean, Soundproof used to go into the American stuff as well because they had a brass section.
Okay.
So they used to do, you know, Blood, Sweat and Tears, Chicago, that sort of stuff as well. But mostly covers bands.
And what sort of dancing was there? Because it was after rock and roll.
Oh, it was after rock and roll.
Just
it was
the one step where you jump up and down and independently.
Yeah, that's
lasted
the one.
Me 10 years.
Yeah, that's the one. That's the one. And that and then just through friends started listening to music a lot. And I had a friend who was a couple of years older than me. And he worked part time at the PDC record bar.
Okay, tell me about the PDC record bar.
Now the PDC, that was the cooperative store. Was it? You could be a sort of member of that.
That's right. Yeah. And that was where the Plaza is now.
Right.
And it was a big, big. What do you call them?
Like a department
store. Department store.
Yeah.
Oh, with its own music section.
With its own music section. Yeah, well, record section.
Yes.
It was upstairs. And Wayne, my mate, used to work there. And he always, and still does, buys and sells records. Mm-hmm. So he'll get a record and he'll listen to it for 6 months. And then he'll think, oh, don't really want that one anymore. And he'll sell it. And he'll buy more. And he's always been like, he's always had a fantastic record collection. But through him, I started buying records that he was casting off. And through him, my music appreciation just expanded. I mean, he put me on to bands like Fairport Convention and Steel Eye Span. And a lot of the bands that you just would not hear.
They were really big in Britain.
They're just stuff you'd never hear on the radio. And so how do you listen to them? You listen to them through talking to friends and friends putting you on to the different music. So I was turning into a bit of a hippie. Grew my hair longer. Started dressing a little bit more alternative, much to my parents, sort of,
Tell me more about this alternative dressing.
It's sort of just wearing jeans with holes in them and a little bit holey and bell bottom flares, a little bit heely shoes, platform shoes that were around in the day, growing a hair down to the shoulders. That sort of thing, I was one of my friends classed me as a middle class hippie.
Well, I tell you, we're actually the same age, and it was in universities in Britain then. That was all the change in the alternative, youth rebellion, and we thought. I got a sister just slightly older than me who went to university, you wear the university scarf and guys wear the blade. And that had all changed in my time. And I thought, we were really alternative. And I look at photos now and they look incredibly conservative. Yeah, you wore a roll neck sweater and your hair was a bit tucked to your ears.
Nothing. The most radical thing I did, and I've still got photos of it, and I look at it and I cringe, absolutely cringe. A friend of mine got married in the Rose Garden in Palmerston North, and I wore a caftan, and I looked ridiculous. But that was the influence of women. Someone suggested I wear it. And it was a girl I was trying to impress at the time. And so I did.
That's it. They're blame guys for going off the deep end. Well, who puts them out to it?
I'm sure you looked at it.
Oh, no, I didn't.
You can do it.
I didn't. But,
Did it work? Was she impressed?
No, not really.
Nah. Okay.
But then... Yeah, we sort of. A group of us as well used to go. So a lot of us were really into music, and none of us were really musicians, but we were really into music. And we used to get our records, and the ones we didn't want anymore, we'd get together, it'd be about four of us, and we'd hop in a car and drive down to Wellington. Yeah. And we'd go round the second-hand record shops, yeah, because Palmerston North never had a second-hand record shop.
Okay.
But down in Wellington, there was Silvio's, there was Slowboat, and there was two or three other places that used to sell second-hand records. And so we'd go down and we'd spend a day, and we'd go around all the second-hand record shops and sell our records and buy new ones and come back and play them.
Mm-hmm.
And that was good. Really enjoyed that. With really great days out.
Mm.
And then another time, another group of friends, we led by a guy called John Tucker, who lived up behind in a valley.
Mm.
John was, again, a bit of a hippie. Well, not just a bit of a hippie. He was a hippie.
When you say hippie, were there any drugs here then?
No.
You can't remember. Yes, okay.
Yes, there were. So, yeah, well, I mean, we all got into smoking a bit of dope, and quite a few got into acid and stuff like that. That never appealed to me. Came across hard drugs a few times, but didn't know many people who got into that. But there were people on the fringes of our group who did. I found that scary.
Wasn't wise.
No, I was relatively conservative, but at the same time. Because, I mean, by that time I was A, at training college, and B, then I went straight to teaching. So
when you were teaching, were you also showing the hippie side of you?
Oh, kids? Yeah.
And how did that go down with the kids? Made you very popular? Or
I don't know about it, because I was always a primary school teacher.
Oh, yeah.
And, yeah, I always got on well with kids.
Hmm.
I mean, kids always liked me.
Yeah.
It was an interesting time. It really was.
Yeah. But you remember it, which...
Yeah. Yes.
Also, the thing about the records, that was the only way we could hear this music.
Yes.
So no, so international radio, you couldn't pick up overseas radio?
No, we couldn't. No. Oh. No, we only had the local radio stations.
Yeah. No, no, two pirate radio? Two, was,
no, not no, here.
Not yet.
No, okay. That didn't come.
Okay.
And a group of friends and I got together, as led by John Tucker. And he lived at Pohongana. And he found a site at Pohongana, right up in the top of the hills, at the top of number one line, where there was this derelict house. So the idea came about that we'd put on a festival.
That's not a... Songbird Gardens.
Don't know.
Okay.
Don't know. So, we started doing working bees, and we'd go up there and we'd chop firewood to sell to earn money, and we knocked down part of a structure up there. It was an old, as I say, it was a derelict old house. It was just about, well, it was falling down. There wasn't much of it left. And we built a stage. And we built a toilet block, you know, long drops, but we built a toilet block. And we put on a festival up there.
And when was this?
That would have been 70... I hadn't met Robin yet. 73?
Okay.
Roughly.
Yeah.
You know, 72, 73, 74. Okay. Roughly around that period. I can't remember the exact dates. I know I was teaching up in Taranaki at the time. And I used to hop in my car on a Friday night, because I didn't like teaching up in Taranaki. I was in a three-teacher school right out in the country. And the only things to do were drink beer and play rugby. And I didn't either. So every Friday night, I'd get in my car, drive back down to Palmerston.
This was from, what was it, bonding, wasn't it? You do your teaching, you do your training.
That's right.
Then you had to go there for 2 years
Yes,
or something.
Yes, I did my first year in Whanganui, my PA year in Whanganui, and then I did 2 years in Taranaki.
Okay. So hang on, you had 1 year's training.
3 years training. I was the first of a 3 year training course.
Okay. So school, 3 year teacher training, 1 year, you said
PA year.
What's a PA year?
That was probationary
assistant.
Not assistant, no. So it was.
But you supervised and you just.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And then 2 years as a bonded placement.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I did my first one in Whanganui. And then my 2 years in...
That meant that you were funded through the 3 years training as well? Was that the
idea?
Yeah,
we got
you get
paid.
Funded right through your training.
Yes.
And then but in return you have 2 years bonding.
Yeah.
And was the bonded year, was that at the full teacher's salary? Or?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, good system.
Yeah.
Was that a big factor in you choosing that direction, you think?
No.
No, you just
I don't know
wanted
why.
To teach.
I just thought I'd quite like to be a teacher.
Okay.
And I couldn't think of anything else I wanted to do, so I became a teacher.
Okay. And the choice of primary was?
You
covered the whole range rather than specialising.
Yeah, and I didn't have a degree or anything like that. I just went to training college.
Yeah, okay.
So we put on a festival up there, and we got a couple of local bands that we used to follow to play there. And it was over a weekend, and we did a big roast pig, and we camped up there, and it was fantastic. We had a lovely time.
Big crowd?
Yeah, we got a good crowd.
Yeah.
We called it Mushroom Mountain.
Okay. I wonder why.
So we did it twice. Yeah. Once we did... there was a local band who used to play in the commercial hotel, which was in the square. And that was a band that we used to follow. They were called Straight. And they were very, very good. Most of them have gone on to be fully professional musicians.
Okay.
One of them has been based in New York for many years as a drummer and drum teacher. And the other ones have been based up in Auckland and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And they were excellent musicians, and they used to do their own material. They wrote their own songs, mostly. They did a few covers, but they never copied the covers. They did them in their own way. And they used to have a big house in Ruahini Street, right up on the top, opposite the park, you know, the park in Ruahini Street?
Yes.
And so they had a big house up there that they rented, and they used to have practices and big parties and stuff like that. They were good.
This is part one of three. Listen next week for part two.
Thank you for listening to Manawatu Conversations. This and other recent programs can also be found on the Manawatu People's Radio website, and a range of programs is also available on the Manawatu Heritage website of the Palmerston North City Archive. The address for that is manawatuheritage.pncc.govt.nz.
If you enjoy this NPR podcast, please consider subscribing. Our podcasts are available on all major podcasting platforms: Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify, as well as the accessmedia.nz app. Support this show and others like it by giving a donation. For more information, go to www.npr.nz/donate.